The story of blind Bartimaeus is one that informs us in many different ways. I like this story and could think about it and study it for days on end. I like the fact that they're walking along, and I like Bartimaeus's stubbornness in asking for what he needs. I like the fact that he seems to be sitting by the side of the road, yelling at the top of his lungs, being disruptive. And I like the fact that he gets heard. Heard enough for people to get upset with him and say, "Shh, don't be. No, Jesus doesn't have time for the likes of you," or whatever they're saying. Or just be quiet. And I like the fact that Jesus listens and goes to him and heals him. And that's where I want to focus today. This movement of Jesus to turn and to connect with Bartimaeus helps us see the kind of God that would send Jesus in a clearer way. Jesus is the revelation of what God wants. Jesus is the revelation of what God desires. Jesus is the revelation of God's character. Jesus is the revelation of all that God wants us to know about Himself. And Jesus challenges us with what we want to think about or say about God. Quite often we are more than willing to say God is a holy God, or God is a wrathful God, or God is a righteous God, or a powerful God. And yes, indeed, God does get angry. And yes, God is powerful. God is many things. But Jesus, through Jesus' life, his encounter with people of need, the people that walked in the lower strata of society, Jesus' response to people who were troubled tells us something about God that goes beyond and overrules the rest of what we want to say. God is a merciful and giving God. Your very presence, your very life, those things you enjoy are indeed because of God's mercy and God's nature and desire to give. Bartimaeus knew his need. He was not able to travel comfortably with the people who were following Jesus. He couldn't see to follow. He might trip, fall, hurt himself. And he wasn't able to work like other people were able to work. He was only able to sit and call upon the only help that was there to help him. And so he did, at the top of his lungs, and to the great discomfort of others who were about their own business and quite capable of following Jesus, seeing Jesus, hearing Jesus, and attending to Jesus. We ought to take a look at those people right now, just to check off and make sure that we're not one of those who seems to think that we somehow have a control or an ability to say what Jesus does and doesn't do and who Jesus does and does not want to talk to. The persons who have played that role in the Bible over and over and over again seem to speak for Jesus in a way that Jesus overrules every time. We don't control Jesus. We don't control God. We are not the sergeant of arms at the door saying, "You may come in or you may not," and found to be out of the loop of God's grace and power. We need to be careful about withholding Jesus from others. But that's sort of an aside. Back to Bartimaeus and how loud he yelled. All the propriety in the world was not going to keep him from his salvation, from his wellness, his wholeness, his sight. He yelled. Jesus heard him. He turned. He commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And he didn't immediately do for Bartimaeus what perhaps he knew Bartimaeus needed. He asked Bartimaeus, "What is it you want? What is it you want?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." There wasn't any long theological discussion. There wasn't something about world peace and the alleviation of hunger. Not that those aren't good things. But for Bartimaeus, the most pressing need of the moment was his sight. "Please give me my sight." And Jesus said, "It's yours." And that, in that act, we get a glimpse of who God really is. In that moment of interaction between the petitioner, the mightily needy Bartimaeus, and the incredibly merciful and attentive and powerful Jesus. "May I please have my sight?" "It's yours. It is given." God gives. And if God was to stop giving, you and I and all that we know would cease to exist in any meaningful way. The character of God is to give. He gave us His Son. He gave us life. He gave us this earth. He gave us many, in fact, all that we know. God is a giving God. And in that, we might want to ponder very carefully as we think about our own lives and our response to who God is, the giving God, the merciful God. In Acts, taken out of context, mind you, we hear Paul say, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, that's an interesting comment on Paul's part. We tend to think of it in terms of looking at somebody, even perhaps to our children, saying, "You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive," to get them to give something to somebody else. But we need to be careful that we don't miss the whole part of this. It's mighty good to get. It's mighty fine to receive. It is one fantastic reality to receive God's gift. And if everything we have that is worth anything at all is a gift of God, then that's pretty good. That is something to be thankful for, and something to praise God for, and something to be joyful about. Yes, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but it's not so bad receiving. It's pretty darn good, in fact. The blessings of friends, of food to eat, of shelter, the blessing of salvation, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and His blood, the offering of new life lived in accord with God's ways, in communion with God, with God as a friend, mighty good to receive, isn't it? I don't know. Isn't it good to receive God's gifts? Yeah. It's wonderful. And I'm as guilty as the rest of not appreciating it. And I'm so thankful that there are times when it finally gets through my thick skull and my hard heart that God has given me everything that I need, and it's good. Now we can go back to the next part. it is more blessed to give than to receive. But we have received. And we have to wonder, if it is so good to have received God's gifts, what would happen if we gave like God gave? Would we be happier? Would we be more full of what God gives? Would it be that we would be, by doing what God does, somehow more connected to who God is? Would it be that we would experience something that was so far beyond our imagination that we couldn't possibly name it until we gave? Could it possibly be that God has something for us to enjoy that is greater than just the joy and gratitude of knowing we got what God gives? That God will give something even better if we give some of it away. You need to be careful here, because you can't coerce. We can't coerce gift giving. Not me, not you. Is a gift of gift if you're trying to force it out of somebody? No. Is a gift if you could have gotten it for yourself anyway? Probably not. A gift is a response of love. God does not need anything from us. Apparently, what God does is just give out of who God is. The many blessings we share. But you and I are in a wonderful place, because having been blessed with what we could not provide for ourselves and what we could not force God to give to us, God has given graciously and mercifully. We can respond to God in a like manner. We can respond to God in a way in which we begin to help act like God by giving of ourselves. And as we think about our time, our finances, our thoughts, it is important for us to remember that we think about it in terms of who God is, not in terms of guilt or fear, but whom God is. Who God is. God is a merciful and giving God who gives us the added mercy and opportunity to give so that others may know of God's love. And so I invite you, as we think about our finances this year and your response, to let God be a part of it. That God who gives, that God who is grace-filled. And let God direct you in what you will do. Think about your blessings and remember that the blessing apparently will be even greater in the giving. I invite you to just hold it in your heart and remember that there is grace in giving as well as grace in receiving.